Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, Our God Never Leaves Us.
So, our Old Testament reading, I will do, normally I delegate that, but because there's lots of names, we will just skip a few areas of the reading, as they just speak about a group of people, and I will explain why. So it's from Nehemiah chapter 12, and we come to the time when the wall is finally built, and so there is a great celebration, and this kind of speaks of that celebration. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with rejoicing, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. The companies of the singer gathered together from the circuit around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, also from Beth Gilgal, and from the region of Geba and Asmaveth. And the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two great companies to give thanks and went in procession. One went to the right on the wall to the dung gate, and after them went Osiah and half the official of Judah. And I'll kind of skip all those names. So that's those who've been going to the right. And then there was another company. The other company of those who gave thanks went to the left. And I followed them with half the people on the wall, above the tower of the ovens and the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim, and by the old gate, and by the fish gate, and the tower. And then again, there's all kind of names going, people going to the left. On that day, men were appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithe, to gather into them the portions required by the law for the priests and for the Levites from the fields belonging to the towns. Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph, long ago, there was a leader of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. In the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah, all Israel gave the daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers, and set apart that which was for the Levites, and the Levites set apart that which was for the descendants of Aaron. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our new reading, New Testament reading, will be read by Leslie. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1 to 14.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all of his holy people throughout Acacia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you helped us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on your behalf for the gracious favor granted us in power. And many will give thanks on your behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayer of many. Paul's change of plans. Now, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace, for we do not write anything to you that you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you may come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we can boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so very much, Leslie. So two very different passages. The first one is about celebration, and the second one is the challenges and the suffering that Paul and the churches went through for their faith and testimony. So celebration, I think, comes in various degrees. You can have the celebration that can be birthday celebration, and if the birthday celebration of my children's, they're allowed to bring some friends, and it kind of grow as they get older. Kind of the principle that we had is that you can bring as many friends as your age, up to 10 years old, you know, because otherwise it becomes really a lot. But that usually would be it, a few friends and kind of a private party here at home, or we would take them somewhere. Then there was our own birthday that might involve a bit more people. As we get older, we get to know more, and maybe a bit bigger if they are special numbers, if we are celebrating a 30th, 40th, 50th, or even more, like I just did a few weeks ago. And then there are greater occasions, let's say wedding celebrations, which would bring even more people and a bit more structure and more planning. And then we have maybe community celebrations or town celebrations that we just had an army celebration kind of day at Vivery Park, and the whole kind of town comes together, and there is all kind of activities, and that needs even more preparation. And then we can think about country celebration, and we had a few of those with coronations and jubilees, and even more than planning, and more people involved. And so here we come at kind of a high point. They've been working very hard to rebuild Jerusalem, and it involves all kind of people to play instruments, officials, people, and people at the heart of the religious life, the Levites and the priests. And for me, what really kind of drew my attention was at the heart and at the center was their faith in God, their coming back to God, and their putting into practice what they had received as a nation, the laws of God. And they were following that kind of structure with worship. And also we see that at the end with the laws around how to look after their religious leaders, the priests and the Levites, and they had to put a tenth of all the goods that they were producing so that they could concentrate on that, we could say, ministry, that work. They didn't have to work themselves and they would be looked after. And it made me think that although we know that we are in a post kind of Christian area, time when maybe less people go to church, I don't think there is less desire to understand and to find faith, but maybe church is less on the minds of people. But when I think of what we had, the coronation, those big national celebration, at the heart of it was still the scripture. And if you remember the time when the king was coronated in a church with bishops and all kind of religious leaders and dignitaries, and all was around the Christian faith. And it's something that's is still a great encouragement. Know that also in the House of Lords, leaders of the church are present and bring their thoughts and their influence there. Some things they want to see that disappears. I think as Christian, we should still rejoice and pray that the Christian presence will continue to influence the decisions. For as Christian, we believe that God calls us to be light and to be salt. And that can bring all kinds of difficulties. And that was the reality of Paul, who had discovered the good news of Jesus Christ. And that meant that he kind of was in a different place than many of his contemporaries, Jewish contemporaries, who had rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And now Paul was proclaiming, no, this is what God had promised, the way of salvation, the new way of salvation, not through the law, because the law just reveals our inadequacies and our mistakes and our sins, but through grace, the grace of God, and through us trusting in a God that takes away our sins through his death. And that gives us the strength and the abilities to live a life and that honors him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the news he was proclaiming. And because of proclaiming, it brought all kind of jealousy and all kind of conspiracy against him. And here it speaks of great afflictions and great suffering. We don't know what it is, but it was so much so that he thought even he despaired for his own life. Just reading a book on losses and grief and the difference between a loss that is kind of predictable, or you know, a long sickness or ages. We know that just by the fact that being human, we will have to face losses in our lives. But he speaks of sudden loss, and his story is that he lost three generations in one day in a car accident. He lost his mother, his wife, and one of his child, his daughter. And it's full of great wisdom, the way he writes it. He says, you can't compare loss, it's not a quantity. Every loss is a loss. But he says the difference with a sudden loss is, if it's progressive or old age, it's maybe something more like, or if it's a sickness or a mental health, and you kind of recover from that. But losses, you can't really recover. It's like an amputation. And the word of recovering is not the right word. And actually loss lived in Christ and through faith doesn't make a recovery, because what is lost will be lost and we'll have to live with that reality. But it can be transformative. It can help us grow in our faith and grow in our understanding what God is calling us to be and to do, and refocus our energies. One of the things that he says is for him was to be more present, of course, for the rest of his family, his children, more present in the reality of the present, and refocused his priorities in life. Speaking a lot, spend so much time at work or building a career and missing the realities of family and friends and faith. And so he shares his journey of grief and his own afflictions and how he received through friends, through families, but even more through his faith in a God who walks with us, a good shepherd, who will not be there to change always our circumstances, but to help us walk through them, in a sense, victorious, because we will keep the faith and keep the hope. And I think that's what Paul says here. He has this hope that God will rescue. As long as he is there to bring about God's knowledge and honor, Paul believes that God will rescue him from all kind of afflictions. And if not, and if the time is for him to go, he is fine with that too. There is a kind of peace in Paul's life, realizing his purpose and realizing who God is, and that nothing can separate us from his love. And so I want to pray this morning with thanksgiving for the good things of life, the good things we can look at, the things we can celebrate, but also pray for the reality that we live in a broken world and there is loss and mourning and grief, and not to relativize that, but to bring it to the God who is with us always and who just says to live one day at a time, and whatever the difficulties, the challenges, there is still plenty today to bring us joy, to bring us hope. So let us pray to have our eyes and our ears open to God's presence and to what he does day by day. Let's pray. Father, this morning we first want to celebrate that great salvation that we believe in, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. You have set us free from sin and death, and you have sealed us with your Holy Spirit. You call us now sons and daughters, adopted into your family, and you say it is by grace that we are being saved, not by work. But Lord, there is work to do, work in your name and through your strength. So help us to discern and to be faithful in our own callings. Often it is to be faithful day by day in working out that salvation in our lives. To open our eyes today to the needs of the world, the needs around us.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.